Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And remember, this is the fifth week of Easter. Continue to celebrate Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He triumphed over sin and death. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father for you and for me. He did that for you and for me. He suffered and died an agonizing death for you and me. But Easter shows us that his word is true, that God is utterly faithful, that he rises from the dead. My goodness, we ought to celebrate that every day of the year. But particularly, the church gives us these days up to Pentecost to really celebrate Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and therefore I will follow. If I am his disciple, if I follow him closely, I will enjoy eternal life. Where there'll be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death anymore, for the old order will have passed away. And all is new. It's the eternal now, the eternal present. God has so much for you. Open your heart to receive it. Today is the feast of St. Philip and James. They're linked in this feast because they share the patronage of an ancient Roman basilica known today as the Church of the Twelve Apostles. Now listen to this. Presumably, the church was built around their relics of Philip and James. In the first chapter of John, Jesus addresses Philip, a fisherman in Galilee, and says to him, "Follow me." Like Andrew, who meets Jesus and then calls his brother Simon, Philip is so struck by the person of Jesus that he immediately finds a friend, Nathanael, and beckons him, "Come, see." Do you see how they reached out to one another, family members, friends? Come and see. Come and take a look. Come and listen. That's what we need to be doing, brothers and sisters, bringing people closer to Christ. A good talk, a good program, a good video. Come and see. Listen to this with me. Look at this with me. Let's talk about it. Always invite. Never coerce, but always invite. O God, who gladden us each year with the feast day of the apostles Philip and James, grant us through their prayers a share in the passion and resurrection of your only begotten Son, so that we may merit to behold you for eternity. At some moments when I read that, it takes my breath away. So that we may merit to behold you for eternity, to behold the source of all goodness and truth and beauty. And, you know, some people say, oh my goodness, who would want to stand forever and look? That's not what it's saying. It's you participate, you enter into the beauty and the truth and the goodness of God. It's eternal life. No more mourning, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Brothers and sisters, it's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. Hold on to it. Open your heart. Receive it. Let the grace of the resurrection, as you celebrate these days, in this third week of Easter now, as we celebrate these days, ask the Lord, help me to understand. Help me to see. Help my faith to grow. My hope. And my love for you, help it to grow. You'd be amazed what God will do for you. The first reading is taken from Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received, and in which you also stand. Through it, you are also being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless, of course, you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one born abnormally, that's Paul. He was a persecutor, so he came to reality, he came to the truth later, and that's why he says he was born abnormally. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. There's so many ways when God makes his presence known in all of our lives, if we're attentive, if we're seeking to follow him more closely, if we're living lives of gratitude for what he has done for us and for what he promises that he will do. Live the resurrection. Live Easter. Live it. Don't just commemorate it one day a year. For heaven's sakes, don't do that. This is your path to eternal life. Psalm 19, their message goes out through all the earth. Not a word nor a discourse, his voice is not heard. Through all the earth their voice resounds, and to the end of the world their message. Brothers and sisters, the gospel's been preached all over the world, but there are still people who do not know. Thousands of people who do not know the good news. Are you being called to speak his word where it is not known? What is God asking of you? And in fact, even more, what about right in your own neighborhood? There are people who do not know God. Don't believe him. It's your living faith. It's not your preaching. It's your living faith that will attract. It's your priorities that become evident. It's your kindness, compassion toward others. It's your peace. Because true Christians, even though we're carrying crosses, true Christians exhibit those virtues, those qualities. And it draws others. Because people without faith have nothing to look forward to. So open your heart. Open your life. This isn't just about you and Jesus, though it is you and Jesus first. But then take that relationship and begin to share it with others. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 6 to 14. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Master, he's confused like they all are. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. See, he's talking to them about a mystery. And unless you walk with faith, a mystery makes no sense. That's why we need to say to the Lord every day, Lord, help my unbelief. Because there are all kinds of things we question. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. One of the famous apostles told us that. Brothers and sisters, faith is critical. And I don't mean brainwash. I mean, say to the Lord, Lord, I want to live in the truth of what you taught, that I may know you forever, that I might share eternal life with you forever. Please teach me. Please show me. Then give him time every day. Read the scriptures every day. Give him time, and he will lead you. Don't worry about the amount of time, but give him time. Make him a priority every day, and he will lead you and show you. Jesus said to Philip in response to his question, have I been with you for so long a time and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these because I am going to the Father. It's our union with God that enables us both to draw near to him and to become his disciple, to become his son or daughter. But it enables then God to work through us for the salvation of others. You don't have to be perfect. You can't be perfect. But you can be totally given to God. Here's my life, Lord. Use it for your glory. Jesus goes on to say, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. That's an incredible promise. And yet we say, well, gee, I asked God for this and that didn't happen. I asked God for this and that didn't happen. What does that mean? If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. In my name. Those of you who have listened to the program ought to be able to answer this. If you ask anything of me in my name, that means according to my will. Remember, I've used this analogy so many times. If you're looking for a job and you want a reference, and the person says, you can use my name as a reference. In other words, he agrees with your request. He thinks you're qualified for the request. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If you ask anything of me in my name, that means that you're asking for something that I will for you, that I desire for you. It is a good. Ask in my name. Don't ask for just your own selfish desires and wait for God to answer them. Say, Lord, teach me your way. Teach me to love your will. Let your will be the focus of my life. And then you're going to ask in accord with his will, and he will hear you. He really will. It's grace. You dispose yourself. You can't make it happen, but you can dispose yourself to say to the Lord, help me to love your will. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.